A lot of people misunderstand the ministry of William Branham. And because they are confused by a lot of comments, both in the internet and from various groups of people concerning that ministry. And it's even made worse by the activities of the followers of that ministry. With all this, the proper picture of the ministry of that humble servant of God has been totally messed up and, of course, misunderstood. And so when people ask us questions, we use that opportunity to explain what that ministry is. And so today we'll be looking at what somebody has tried to bring out that is confusing him. The question he asked concerning what William Branham spoke concerning the zodiac and the astrology, how he said it also preaches the gospel. We will try to also correct a lot of impressions that Robert Lyon in his book God's General and so many other people have written. You have the opportunity now to hear from the true followers, and it's left for you to make up your mind. That is what we are attempting to do today. Let's go to the auditorium.
Praise the Lord. Can I prophesy a little bit? I want to answer somebody. Amen. It's not only the youth that contend for this faith. I am a contender of the faith too. And I'm contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. While I was getting ready to come, the Lord ministered to me to check my email. Immediately I opened it, I saw a mail out of so many other mails that were there, and I knew this is the reason God told me to look at this mail. Praise the Lord. Let me read it. This is from Kule Adebiyi. The truth is, Kule, if you are listening to me, I am not a writer. I'm a talker. Amen. It's true. Some people are very good with writing. But I'm not too good with writing. So, I express myself better with my mouth than with the hand. And so, I could not have been able to sit down and reply you in a manner that you will be able to understand. So, since you watch the Bright Television regularly, I pray that you will listen to me somehow, or somebody who knows you will tell you I have replied you. And this is what you wrote about 2 days ago. You sent this email. It said, "Top of the day, Pastor Moses. I have been following your ministry for a while and just stumbled upon something confusing which I need your clarification. I watched God's Generals by Robert Lyon many years back, and his specific testimony about William Branham, which you recently refuted via the Bright Television. Today, I was just checking William Branham's tomb, and interestingly, it's an exact replica of the Egyptian pyramid. Why do you think this is so?" And he was quoted as saying, "Apart from the Bible, God spoke via the zodiac and the pyramids. Till date, modern science and scientists cannot demystify the origin and purpose of the pyramids of Egypt. But many via carbon dating agree is thousands of years old and must have been created by advanced life forms or extraterrestrials. These structures, including stone structures, are in every continent and in depths of Japanese oceans, ruins of cities. Needless to say, the Nephilim, that is the hybrid kids of fallen angels in Genesis, who slept with daughters of men, have been ascribed as the builders of these pyramid structures, etc. Even in Chad, a pyramid structure has been discovered. In South Africa too, stone structures like Stonehenge, in UK, Baalbek, in Middle East, etc. If Brother Abraham was a true prophet of God, which I held to be true before this imagined information now, how come a new doctrine on pyramids and zodiacs, etc.? And how come, if pyramids were originated by Satan via the Nephilim bloodline, to whom modern researchers point all physical kings derive their right or legitimacy to rule, why should Christianity mix with mechanism? More so, the Giza pyramids, etc., are said to be built by Egyptian pharaohs. And we all know God detested Egyptian practices, lifestyles, etc., as everything had a god or idol behind it. One, construction had a deity, two, agricultural deities, and so on. Why should William Branham hold on to doctrines of devils? Or he was truly deceived into heresy at his last days, corroborating Robert Lyodon's assertions? Is signed by Kule Adebiyi. That must be a Nigerian. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The ministry of William Branham is like that of Apostle Paul. Let's open the comment Peter passed concerning the teachings of Apostle Paul in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 14, 15 and 16. He said, wherefore beloved, this is Apostle Peter talking, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. 15. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, that's where I'm going, also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. It's the same thing. Praise God. When you study the ministry of William Branham, it, except God grants you understanding of that ministry, amen. This was the way a preacher, an American preacher who visited me some years back, put it. He said, watch it, Brother Moses. He said, when you take the floodlight, when you take the floodlight, and then in a dark place, if you shine the floodlight, instead of shining it in front of somebody, you shine it in his face. What will happen to that person? He will be blind. The present truth, the ministry of William Branham, is a light symbolized by that pillar of fire that God allowed us to see through that scientific photograph. When you, instead of you, to allow that light to show you the way, you are going against the light. What did we do? It will blind you. Instead of seeing, you will go blind. is the problem with Christianity. That is the problem with the message that God gave William Branham to his people. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now let me clarify something for Brother Adeniyi. Amen. Now, William Branham was not a theologian. William Branham was not an educated man. And listen, church. William Branham was a prophet of God. Prophets don't go to any school of theology. And there will be no need for a prophet in any... When I say prophet, I'm not talking about the chukbe-chukbe prophet. Oh, neither am I talking about the fivefold ministry prophet. I am talking to the voice of God to every generation. Every generation has a voice. There must be. That is why we have the seven church ages. We have the star messengers. It's in the book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 16 and verse 20. It is there. Listen, church. When you want to hear me talk, let these blindfolded denominations speak anything against this great light that God gave us in this age. That delivered us from the confusion that is going on. Everybody keeps saying William Branham is false. He's false. You, what do you use to measure whether something is true or false? What do you use? It's the Bible. It's the Bible. They will tell you William Branham is false, but they cannot bring up anything he has preached that is contrary to the Bible. Nothing. The next thing they'll say, he said he's Elijah. They say he is a prophet. They say he is this. Is there no Elijah ministry in the Bible? Is there not the prophetic ministry in the Bible? So what claim has he made that is contrary to the Bible? They're busy looking for a way. Now, God allowed them to mess up themselves in the denomination so that we can stand. And when it is time for the light to shine again, it will shine so bright. Now, people are listening to the ministry of William Branham through this ministry. Now, I'm saying something. William Branham did not go to school. John the Baptist did not go to the school of Gamaliel, Pharisees and the Sadducees. He grew up where? John the Baptist grew up in the wilderness. So, when he wanted to preach, it is the environment he grew up that he will use and understand gospel to express to you. Because he was in the bush seeing snakes and all manner of snakes. What did he describe to them? He said, you generation of vipers. Because he knows how they walk. Hallelujah. William Branham was the same thing. He did not go to school, but he was frequently in the bush because he loved hunting. So, William Branham said that God causes him to understand the gospel from nature. While the theologians are going to research works of men, other research works, using their scientific things and carbon dating and all the things they use, William Branham is not educated enough to go that far. So, what will he use to make you understand God? Do you know that people who have not read the Bible in your villages, who cannot speak English, who cannot read and write, there is a wisdom that make you understand life. They give you serious proverbs. Eh? They give you serious proverbs. And if you like, don't listen to it because they are unbelievers. You are a Christian, Abby? Then somebody is telling you about life. Praise the Lord. My sister from Suriname, Sister Suzette, was telling me yesterday, as we were talking about something about the way people are criticizing me and criticizing and things like that. And she said, there is a proverb in her place. She said, a banana. He said, a banana, where banana grows, the more you pour dirty on that banana. He said, the dirty you are putting, he said, it's manure. The fatter the banana will become. Praise the Lord. Is that proverb in the Bible? Now listen, church. Now, William Branham said so many things to make us understand the authenticity of the Bible. Now, the young man who wrote me, I don't know whether he's an old man or a young man, but the brother that wrote, he says that zodiac and astrology, the Bible is against it. So why is William Branham using the zodiac to teach doctrine? It's the same way I told you that wisdom is spoken to you, the believer, by a proverb from your village. Now, this is the way William Branham said it. William Branham said that the first gospel, that's the language he put, that the first gospel was the zodiac. And he was not speaking it to establish a doctrine. He was using it to punch that you that don't believe the Bible, there is something even in what you believe that still speaks of the gospel. And what is the first sign of the zodiac? The first sign is the sign of a lamb. I think that is it Aries? Aries. The first sign is what? Is what is the sign, the symbol of the first sign of the zodiac? It's a lamb. And William Branham say, what is that lamb? He said, that is the beginning of life. Christ, the Lamb of God. And that sign begins between, it covers the period between March and April. And it's, you know, that period that Christ was crucified, the Lamb of God. Therefore, even the first sign of the zodiac is speaking the gospel of our salvation. That is what William Branham was speaking. He was not establishing it as a doctrine. He was using it to make us understand more what the gospel is all about. And then try to penetrate into the astrologers. To let them know that there's even something there that's talking about our salvation. And it's not only William Branham that has spoken it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Concerning resurrection, Job chapter 14, can we read it? Job chapter 14, verse 7. It says, for there is hope of a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water, just small water, it will bud and bring forth buds like a plant. I'm reading up to verse 14. But man dieth and wasted away. Yea, man giving up the ghost. And where is he? As the waters fell from the sea, and the flood decayeth and dryeth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Verse 13. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wilt have kept me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wilt have appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Which change? First Corinthians chapter 15. He saw it prophetically. He saw a change in his body, confirming that the same thing that happens to a tree will happen to a man when you die. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 35. Let me read it up to verse 44. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bear grain, it may have chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Our flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the celestial is one. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star different from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Hallelujah. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Verse 44. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So what is he saying? He's using the death and resurrection of a tree to preach the gospel of resurrection. And Jesus Christ says, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abideth alone. But when it is died, when it falls down and dies, it brings forth more of itself. What was he doing? He was using that to preach his resurrection. Now he's the only Son of God. But if you want more children of God, then this one seed will have to be sown. That's why he had to die. And his resurrection produces other more children of God. We are heirs and joint heirs with him. He becomes our elder brother. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So when you want to understand spiritual things, natural things are used. It's not a doctrine. It's just to enable you to understand what salvation is. This marriage that we marry, we wed people here almost every Saturday in this church, is only speaking of a spiritual marriage that is going on between Christ and the church. Apostle Paul says so in Ephesians chapter 5. He said, he even called it a mystery. On earth here, we have kingdoms. Kingdoms. They're only speaking of a greater spiritual kingdom of God. We have kings and we have queens. We are the bridegroom and we have the bride. And they're all speaking about Christ and his church. And that's why, to make us understand salvation, God put in the book of Esther the story of King Ahasuerus and Queen Vashti and that slave girl, Esther. You understand that story? God was using it to establish, make salvation clearer for us. Apostle Paul even used sports. He said, in a race, he said, it's all that run, but it's one that received the prize. And he said that when you run the race, he said, he used everything about athletics to teach you how you should also run the race for your salvation. And it's not a doctrine. He is only using it to establish, to understand what is going on. The same thing also, we have the course of law, where cases are judged. They are also speaking of the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone will see before God and we shall all be judged. Even rain, Jesus Christ said, the rain fall on the just and the unjust. And Apostle Paul, in Hebrews chapter 6, gave us a description of the type of people that are in the church of Jesus Christ, wheat and tares, manifesting anointing by the same Holy Ghost. And he used the rain that fall to the ground. Hallelujah. It is not only what you planted that will grow. The one that you didn't even plant there will also grow in that same farm. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The last parable in Matthew chapter 13 of the fishing net. Christ himself was speaking. He used a fisherman to describe what will happen in the end time. The gospel pack all manner of people, but there must be a sorting time where you sort out. It is fish we are looking for. But all manner of things, we say, I'm born again, born again, born again, born again. But the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seed, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So in the church, we now understand what wheat means, what tares means. The same thing, what goat means and what sheep means. Evil will embrace a way further to let us understand divine agenda and how science itself preaches the gospel. Not only zodiac, even science preaches the gospel. Where he preached the message that he titled The Countdown. And he brought it out and said that the same way science was moving, that is how also the Holy Ghost was moving. God was moving for the purpose of salvation, to pack us from earth to glory. And what did he do? He used the invention of the modes of transportation. The modes of transportation, it started when it was time for man to begin to move easier from one location to another. It was horse and a cart. The horse will be in front with something with a wheel. And then they will stay there and the horse rather than the thing will be going kluko, 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 kluko. And that was the time that God was began to restore his church. The same period that they began to create this means, that was the time that Luther started his own gospel. Justification. Then it moved from there to the automobiles, cars. It was from there. The engine of a car is rated by the horsepower. It's the same thing. And then it was when now you now got to moving what do you call it? Faster than using a car. And that was the time. The same time that science discovered the car, that was the time the ministry of John Wesley started sanctification. God was restoring it. The same time spiritually, God was also restoring that. Then, after sanctification, then 1906, hallelujah, the church, science too, about that period, within that period, began to produce aircrafts that could now lift. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They can now lift from the ground. Remember, the aim of man is to see what is up there. And God is going to pack us one of these days up there. While we are up there, he will rearrange the earth and bring us back. And the Pentecostal age was the same age that the gospel moved onto that realm where, science moved in the mobility now to aircrafts. They became more heavily than those evangelicals going up and down. That is the time they became more heavily speaking in tongues. Mighty miracles, signs and wonders. It is a miracle for an aeroplane. Yesterday I was in a flight, and as the flight took off, I was saying, see science. See science. As we were going, we took off. I say he has beaten a law of gravity. It has beaten a law of gravity. And it took off. And we went beyond the cloud. Hey, Jesus. I'm talking spiritual. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And shortly after that, amen. Not too long ago, man was able to defeat the gravity of this earth and took a human being to the moon and placed him there. And that was the period, hallelujah, that the same ministry of William Branham started. Preparing the people to go home. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Announcing that the bride age has come. And that this is the age that God is going to take some people away from this earth and place them up there. Science was speaking it. And it is not a doctrine. It is to make you understand the gospel clearer. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, when you look at the picture of a pyramid, let's look at the picture of a pyramid. If you look at the screen, they will show you a picture of a pyramid. Now, the pyramid there, I think Egypt is known for that. That is the pyramid there. Now, if you look at that pyramid, there's something mysterious about it. Up to this moment, the science involved in the building of that pyramid is still mysterious till today. Amen. Researchers are busying themselves. Now, if you notice that is a complete building, if you look at it, that is a complete building of a triangular shape. Now, the truth about it is that, it is spoken that there is no shadow cast. Any part of that pyramid, you don't see a shadow. No matter where the sun shines, it does not create shadow. So there is some perfection. And there is something divine or mysterious, let me call it, about that. You can see the complete. Now, that makes it complete. That is a complete picture of the pyramid. Now, William Branham now used the pyramid to make us understand the gospel when he preached the message of the title, The Statue of Perfection. Now, this is how those who understood from that message the graphic form of that presentation. If you look at the screen again, you will see it. Let's read 2 Peter chapter 1. This is the way he put it. It says, verse 5, the statue of perfection. We have read it here several times. It's one of the most popular scriptures here. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. So there's a building there, isn't it? You are to add and add and add, isn't it? Now, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, add knowledge. And to knowledge, add temperance. And to temperance, add patience. And to patience, add godliness. And to godliness, add brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, add charity. And he said, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are talking about a building. First, you will discover that 7 of them before charity. Now, you start with your faith. Now, you are to add to that faith something. Now, if you take it up to where we come to charity, hallelujah, 7, William Branham, in preaching the 7 church ages, he drew that picture of that pyramid. Now, in drawing the picture of the pyramid, the capstone, hallelujah, the capstone was not placed there. Praise God. The capstone,
that last cap there.
I wish we can really see it on the screen. This is, listen very well. This is what William Branham used to explain the seven church ages. First and foremost, from the left side there, he's talking about Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. To the angel, he started, message was first given to the seven church ages. He started with the Ephesian church age, to the church in Ephesus. The next one, message to the church in Smyrna. Then it went again to the next church, the third church, Pergamos. Then to the next church, Thyatira. The next church, Sardis. And the next church, Philadelphia. And the seventh church age, which we are in now, Laodicea. There is an angel to every of those church ages. To the official church age, the messenger was Apostle Paul. Smyrna church age, it was Irenaeus. Pergamos church age, the star messenger was Martin. The Thyatira church age, the messenger was Columba. And the Sardisian church age, the messenger was Luther. And the Philadelphia church age, praise the Lord, the messenger to that age was Wesley. Now, when William Branham drew it, when he came to Laodicea, he did not put William Branham. He put Elijah. That was what he put there. He just wrote it there, Elijah. And then he left it there because Elijah, it will be the last church age messenger. So that people will not say he's placing himself there. So you have to look around. In every age, then he taught us how to identify, or how every church age, the theologians identify. They agree with him totally, up to John Wesley. Their problem is that last one. And William Branham said that what did they use to recognize every church age messenger? He said they chose the one that was closest to the ministry of Apostle Paul. Therefore, in this age also, the one that will fit in as the messenger to the Laodicean church age shall be the one whose ministry is closest to Apostle Paul's ministry. And we search, hallelujah, those wise men from the east. They saw a star. The light that star shined was different from the light of other stars. And we saw that light of William Branham. And that is the only one that pointed us back, took us to where Christ is. And Christ is not in any church. Christ is in his word. Now we look on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now William Branham he looked, he said, the same way the church of Jesus Christ is built, it's the same way the temple of Solomon was built. Solomon's temple was built in 7 years. And it was built with stones from all over the world. So the church of Jesus Christ will be made up of lively stones from all over the world. And it will take 7 church ages to build it. Now, then he said, the same way also the church is built, is the same way also the individual believer will also be built. You are, before you reach the stage of perfection, he said, you start with faith. You must add virtue. You will add knowledge. You will add temperance, patience, godliness. Then, brotherly kindness. The last one, hallelujah, the church of Jesus Christ, the body, the church is the body, and Christ is the head. And the church is not yet complete until the head comes and joins the body. And the body has been in building all this while. One of these days, the capstone will come and cap up the pyramid, and the building will be complete. Just as the Egyptian pyramids are mysterious, so also the building of the church of Jesus Christ is mysterious. And they will never know how the process of this building will take place until God himself reveals it to them. Apostle Paul, Ephesians chapter 5, call it a mystery. The church, the building of the church, the marriage between Christ and the church is a mystery. And so, William Branham, in drawing it, he left that gap in the teaching of the seven church ages. He left that gap, hallelujah, for the coming of the Lord. Busy perfecting us. Busy telling us what the true body of Christ should look like. But one of these days, that capstone will come and fit in. And the pyramid will be completed. Now, as soon as he finished, he was illustrating that on a board. The day he was teaching it in Abraham Tabernacle. I think it was in Abraham Tabernacle. So he was teaching it. Then he finished cleaning the board. Suddenly, something happened. Suddenly, the atmosphere changed. A light, that same pillar of fire, came to the side of the wall and repeated this. Everybody sitting down there saw it. People were falling under anointing. Repeated the same drawing, the same everything. Repeated it on the wall with a light. The supernatural things that happened in the ministry of that man, William Branham. Unless God, by his spirit, keeps you saying, you will go the way others went, believing that that man was not an ordinary man. That's why they deify him. So many things. And I don't want to bother going into it, because the miracles and all that they perform, I was not there. I didn't see it. What drew me to his ministry is not the miracles. What drew me to his ministry was the truth he was preaching. It was the word. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you that this same message that somebody is calling error, the pillar of fire came down and vindicated it. And when he finished, he said, Will Abraham say, that is God's way of telling him that telling you all, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter is established. Telling you that the teaching of the seven church ages is true. The statue of perfection is true. The seven church age messengers is true. And that the capstone is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, this particular explanation is so much. He preached it and established us to be where we are today in God's divine agenda. So, when he died, his tomb, the followers of the ministry of William Branham, his church, in building his tomb where they buried him, they reenacted that same illustration of that teaching in his tomb. I was there with my wife sometime or so recently, and then we went there. This is how it looked, and this is what they are referring to. To make it look as if it was some pyramid, Zodiac teaching that William Branham was bringing. It's not Zodiac teaching. It's not astrology he was teaching. It was symbolizing something that he was using to teach the authenticity of our salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I hope Adeni will understand. I want to make another comment, Adeni. The teaching on the Nephilims, and I have heard big theologians propound that theory. It's an academic theory. When the Bible said there were giants in those days, so they are wondering, where did the giants come from? And all they came up with a doctrine. The doctrine of the Nephilims is the same thing as Darwin's theory, evolution. It's the same thing. Charles Darwin's theory on evolution is the same thing.
Somebody sits down and when you cannot explain something, then you use your chukwe chukwe brain to explain. And because they can write, they begin to use their chukwe chukwe brain. Amen. I cannot write, but I can talk. I cannot see, but I get mouth to talk. Praise the Lord. In their attempt to understand Genesis chapter 6, can we read it? I think from verse 1 or so. And it came to pass. Listen, see where they get confused. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. That is where they are having problem. The sons of God, hallelujah, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took the wives of all which they chose. Watch it. Sons of God. Sons of God. And they want to refer to sons of God as fallen angels. You cannot be a son of God and be a fallen angel. So that knocks off that theory to start with. Let's read verse 3. Verse 2 again. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were what? Fair. That is beautiful. And they took them wives of all which they chose. Verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Then there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Watch it again, verse 4. Watch it again. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, after those days that there were giants, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, that is, there were giants before the sons of God came into the daughters of men. So what they are saying, I have read it everywhere. I've seen it. Anytime I read it, I will just be laughing and begin to thank God for opening my eyes of understanding. Church, the bride knows better than that. Hallelujah. No matter what they do, we know what the original sin is. Who are these sons of God? And who are these daughters of men? That is where the confusion is. Hallelujah. Who are these sons of God? And who are these, sons of God, and who are these daughters of men? The language used concerning what happened in the Garden of Eden, God used parables. God purposely used language that will confuse people. He himself encoded it. Until he decodes it for you, you will never know what happened in the Garden of Eden that reduced us to what we are today. Brother Danny, the teaching of the proponents of Nephilims, they are themselves those same demon possessed. It's a wrong teaching. And any theologian that buys that, you will never know why you must be born again. It is what happened in the Garden of Eden that lets us know why you must be born again. Your natural birth nature
has been corrupted with animal nature. Through what happened between that woman, Eve, and that animal, serpent. It was, hallelujah, a mixture of human cells with animal cells that produced Cain. Hallelujah. And Cain left. After he went, the Bible says, it was when God gave them another child known as Seth that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Abel was killed, leaving only Cain that refused to serve God. Yes, he picked the daughter of Adam to marry, certainly. Because that is where the thing began. He picked a daughter of Adam to marry. And he went off. And exactly according to that satanic agenda of Lucifer, that is all he wanted. They went there and they began to produce beautiful, beautiful women. They are the ones known as the daughters of men. And the sons of God from the lineage of Seth. From the lineage of Seth, the pure seed, because Seth was a product of Adam and Eve, no animal nature in him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Therefore, the children that we produce, they will be pure seed. The Satan agenda is to corrupt it. And before you know what, the sons, daughters, the sons, the sons of God from the lineage of Seth saw those beautiful girls, for that was their agenda. So you can imagine how beautiful they must have been. People of the world, they are always more beautiful than the children of daughters of God. Yes, because what is bothering you is how to serve God. That is what is paramount. But all these unbeliever women, all these Delilahs, all these Jezebels, they are busy beautifying themselves with all manner of creams and everything. Who is the target? The sons of God. And the sons of God saw those hybrided people, animals, and then went into them and married them and began to produce children. Every child, therefore, they produce will be a mixture of animal cells and human nature also. And so, agenda of Satan was complete. Now, anytime he wanted you to do any evil, all he does, there is already an animal nature in you. He will come and anoint that animal nature and you begin to act like an animal. That is what brought the wickedness and everything. All of us, the whole world, had that nature. All of us. And that is why God is interested in changing your nature, conversion. When you see yourself doing the things that you should not do as a human being, it is a nature in you. Your original birth has been tampered with. Your original nature has been tampered with. That's why you must be born again. Was we born again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You cannot deceive us. Hallelujah. Open my eyes that I may see.
Glimpses of truth thou hast for me.
Place in my hand a wonderful
thou shalt unclasp,
thou shalt unclasp and say,
silent me now,
silent me now, I wait for
ready my God, ready my God, thy will open my eyes,
open my eyes,
illumine my spirit. divine.